I'm Ian Patel, and I'll be reading you Christopher Columbus, The True Story of the Explorer Who Changed the World, by James R. Whitfield. Let's begin. Prologue, The Moment. Everything changed. 2 hours before dawn on October 12, 1492, a sailor on watch aboard the caravel Pinta saw something on the horizon. The moon was full, 3 days past, and bright enough to throw silver onto the swell. The man at the masthead was Juan Rodriguez Bermejo, a sailor from the Andalusian town of Triana, though he would be remembered in some sources by a different name. Rodrigo de Triana, an alternative form that is stuck in popular memory, what he saw, by his own account, was a low cliff of white limestone catching the moonlight, land, after 33 days at sea, the first land any of these men had seen since they had departed the Canary Islands on September 6, he shouted. The cry was the standard one for this duty. In the seaman's language of the day, mock!
Tierra!
Tierra! Land! Land! Captain Martin Alonso Pinzon ordered a small cannon fired to signal the discovery to the two other ships in the squadron, the Niña and the flagship Santa Maria. The watch officers on those ships heard the report and hauled their crews from their bunks. The squadron drew sail and stood off the unknown shore until the sun came up. The land that Bermejo had seen was a small island in what is now the Bahamas. Its inhabitants, a Lucayan branch of the Taino people of the Greater Antilles, called it Guanahani. They'd been on the island for at least 2,000 years, perhaps longer. They lived by fishing, by farming cassava and maize and beans on the level interior of the island, and by trading with the larger Taino populations of Cuba and Hispaniola, with whom they were connected by canoe routes that crossed the open water of the Caribbean. They had no writing. They had no metal except for small ornaments of copper and gold, traded northward from the workshops of central Mexico through networks none of them could trace. They had no horses. They had no large draft animals at all. The most powerful weapon they had ever used was a wooden javelin tipped with a sharpened fishbone. What they saw on the morning of October 12, 1492, was three ships standing offshore. The ships were larger than any vessel any Lucayan had ever seen. They had multiple masts, sails of an unfamiliar fabric, and on the largest of them, the flag of a kingdom no one on the island had ever heard of. After a time, the ships dropped anchor, and a smaller boat was let down on the lee side. Several men climbed into it and rowed to the beach. The man in command of the small boat was about 41 years old. He was tall by the standards of his time, red-haired going to gray, with the weathered face of a man who had spent most of his adult life on ships. He wore a wool cloak of bright scarlet, chosen by his own later writing for the impression it would make on whatever inhabitants might be watching. He carried with him a small green cross, two banners, the royal arms of Castile and Aragon, and his own personal flag and a notarized document. As the boat scraped onto the beach, he stepped out, knelt on the sand, kissed the ground, and offered a prayer of thanksgiving in Latin. He then signaled to the two captains who had come ashore with him, the Pinzon brothers, Martin Alonso and Vicente Yáñez, to witness what was about to happen. The notary, Rodrigo de Escobedo, unrolled the document and read it aloud in a Spanish that no one on the beach except the Spaniards could understand. The document was a formal act of possession, prepared in advance for whatever lands might be reached on this voyage. It claimed the island in the names of Ferdinand of Aragon and Isabella of Castile as a possession of the Spanish crown. It declared the inhabitants, whoever they might be, subjects of those monarchs. It announced that the rights of governance, taxation, and the disposition of property within the territory now belonged to Spain. The man in scarlet, who had been present at the writing of the document, signed it. The Pinzon brothers signed as witnesses. The notary signed and affixed his seal. The legal performance was complete. The Lucayans who were watching this from the trees had no idea what had been done. Neither in any deep sense did the Spaniards. The man in scarlet, Cristoforo Colombo of Genoa, by Spanish naturalization, Cristobal Colon, by English chronological convention, Christopher Columbus, by his own self-styling, Don Cristobal Colon, Almirante de la Mar Oceana, Admiral of the Ocean Sea, believed himself to have reached the eastern islands of Asia, the periphery of the empire.